a very well-known passage of scripture. But the story of Cain and Abel is a heartbreaking one, as it shows just one generation from Adam, not long after sin had entered into the world, that man can, regardless of his stature in life, regardless of who their parents are, can commit terrible sin. The biblical account shows Cain and Abel getting ready to offer sacrifices unto the Lord. In verse 3, it gives an indication where it says, in the process of time, or at the end of days, it possibly represents maybe a special offering that they were getting ready for. We see both of them giving completely different types of offerings. Abel, being a keeper of sheep, offering the firstlings of his flock, and his offering was accepted. Cain was a tiller of the ground, and he offered the fruit from the ground, and his offering was rejected. Now, there are several thoughts and theories as to why Cain's offering was rejected. I thought about this myself. Why was his offering rejected? And there's just a couple of different thoughts that some people have come up with. It doesn't clearly say why, but we could consider maybe it's just God's sovereign choice, God accepting one rather than the other. God, being God, has the right to do that. Another thought that some have actually put forward is the thought of a non-blood sacrifice. It seems to be God set the pattern and instituted when he clothed Adam and Eve after they had sinned, and it seems like God had instituted that type of sacrifice as acceptable unto him. And I believe God may have given that as an example for them to follow. Some have thought maybe a poor quality of offering. The view that Abel gave the very best, it says there that in verse 4, Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock. He gave the very best of what he had, and possibly Cain just giving of the ground. It doesn't say what type of fruit or what type of offering, but it was from the ground, and possibly it wasn't his very best. Another thought has been put forward that it was an attitude problem. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, it starts out by saying, through faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. There was an attitude of Abel when he was giving of the firstlings of his flock, an attitude of faith, and that could be the thought that God has instituted this type of offering, and by faith we're going to continue that through. For that to be accepted, by faith being accepted, it would show then there was probably an attitude problem in the heart and mind of Cain, where his offering was not accepted. It would appear for me, as I consider these particular thoughts that some people have put forward, that it was possibly a combination of these as possibly true for Cain. But the story gives us some insight into Cain and his thinking and the decisions that he made. And we need to make sure that we take into consideration and learn from Cain so that we too don't make the same mistakes that Cain did. We can too easily fall into that same mindset that I have called Cain brain. Each one of us at any time can have a Cain-like brain. I'm going to look at just three simple thoughts tonight about Cain, and we're just going to, I guess, examine and take a little bit of, a little bit of liberty, a little bit of thinking. I want you to put yourself in his shoes as the Bible describes it. And we're going to try and have a look at what he was thinking, what actually happened, and then obviously the end result, as we see in verse 8. Now, if you have a Cain brain, or if you end up with a Cain-like brain, it doesn't mean you'll end up with murder, but the end result can be something devastating for your life if you allow to. So the first thing we see in verse 3, I think Cain started with a presumptuous heart, a presumptuous heart. Verse 3 says, and in the process of time, it came to pass, and it starts out with Cain first. In the process of time, as it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. We've already kind of talked really briefly about the thought that God had instituted the type of sacrifice that was acceptable unto him. We've already kind of laid out maybe the other quality of the offering, maybe the attitude that Cain was having. But I think if you were Cain, I want you to try and put yourself in Cain's, put yourself in the story, and you're a tiller of the ground and you work in the ground and you are bringing forth food, and you see crops grow, and you see things starting to develop, and those things to you would look very good and inviting, and you might actually feel proud about what you're able to achieve. And I try to think, why would Cain give something that's different than maybe what he had done in the past? It doesn't say that this is the first offering that Cain's ever done. It's the first one that we see recorded of Cain and Abel. But Abel seemed to have understood what the process was. It was obviously passed down, the teachings about offerings and about sacrifices. I'm sure Dad had explained what God had done in the past in the garden, shown the importance that something had to be sacrificed because of sin. And this is what God had instituted. And then we have Cain, out of his own mindset, that starts to think, well, I think that what I'm producing is of great importance. I think with a presumptuous heart, we have selective obedience. After knowing what was right, Cain decided that, I think that if I give of what I produce, that is something worthwhile, and I'll offer that to God. We need to be careful that with our presumptuous heart, when it comes to, I guess we'll categorize it with our worship or with our service to God, or how we come before God. We need to understand that we need to be careful that we don't have selective obedience when it comes to serving God. And what I mean by that is, it's quite easy for us to say, well, I want to serve God in my own way. I'm going to choose the things that I want to do for God. I'm going to choose the way that I'm going to serve God. I think Cain, maybe with possibly right motives, looked at the things that he had made, he had planted and cultivated, maybe with the right sort of motive, I want to do this for God. But it ended up being bad. It ended up being not what God wanted. Have you ever had in your mind, I want to do something for God? I see a need, or I see a thing, and I want to do that because I know I can do that. If we have a selective obedience, or maybe a presumptuous heart, that's what God wants us to do, we can be at the precipice of Cain brain. Selective obedience, I will obey on my own terms. But then I think also some self-designed worship. I think Cain, when he was looking at the crops and the fruit of the ground, I think within himself he thought, not that he was purposely wanting to disobey, but I think he had said, I think God will be pleased with this. In his heart, I can see him gathering the fruits of the ground and thinking, I like this. I enjoy this, God also will enjoy it. God will look at it and be pleased with what I'm going to present to him. Self-designed worship. Every time we do anything for God, if we think it's the way that we think it should be, and we start to think, God will surely be pleased with what I'm about to do. It's like a self-designed worship. But then there's also submissionless activity. Some people think that what Cain was giving was not, even in his offering, was probably not the best that he could have produced anyway. And I wonder if Cain, maybe because he was a tiller of the ground and maybe saw a lot of crops and a lot of things being developed, maybe he had an abundance of things and thought, this will do. This particular thing from the ground, that will be enough. That will satisfy God. Have you ever had the mindset that that maybe as long as I'm doing something for God, it'll be okay? I think about tithing. I know money's not a good thing to talk about at church, but I think about tithing, and for some people, the mindset could be, well, at least I'm giving something. Doesn't matter how much it is, but I'm going to give something. I'm going to put a little bit in the plate in the bag when it goes by. And not that you're trying to do it for show, but in your mind, at least I'm giving something. Because there are some people that don't give anything, and that's between them and God. But if we have the mindset that as long as I'm giving something, at least I attend church on Sunday morning, doesn't matter about Sunday night or Wednesday, God will be happy if I just go on Sunday mornings. To me, that's a Cain brain. You're deciding what you think God will be pleased with, and I think Cain was under that same thought. Some people offer God attendance, but not obedience. Some people offer him words, but not repentance. Some offer him service, but not surrender. I wonder if you've ever done something for God and you've thought, well, as long as I'm doing that thing, God will be happy. As long as I attend, God will be happy. As long as I give something, at least something, God will be happy. That's a Cain brain. That's a presumptuous heart. Now, I know none of you are like that, but some people have a presumptuous heart. As you continue to read through the story, Cain's already had this thought that as long as I'm giving something, God will accept it. The Bible tells us that God did not accept his offering. He accepted Abel's offering. By faith, the Bible says Abel gave that. Cain didn't do that. He went on his own thinking, and it was rejected. The next step for Cain became a proud spirit. Verse 4, and Abel, he also brought all the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, in verse 5. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? And verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. I look at the spirit now of Cain once he realizes that his offering has not been accepted by God. And we see, firstly, in verse 5, his offering not being accepted, and the Bible says Cain was very wroth. Cain had great displeasure on what he was hearing and understanding. Now, I don't know, it doesn't say how God said his offering wasn't accepted, whether it was through the prophet at the time or through Adam or his own conscience, I don't know. But God says, what you're offering is not accepted to me. It's not acceptable by me. And Cain had great displeasure in hearing what God had to say. We need to be careful as we go through our church life, and as we make decisions on how we're going to serve God, how we're going to attend church, how we're going to live our Christian life, that there may be times, it may be during the preaching, it may be during circumstances, however God is going to talk to you, if God's not happy with how you're living, if God's not pleased with the decisions that you're going to make, sometimes God is going to let you know that what you're doing is not acceptable to him. And I guarantee you, if we have a Cain brain, we're going to be very displeased when God confronts us about that. you can understand Cain thinking, maybe why wasn't my offering accepted? He's getting mad. He's getting cross. He may be a little bit confused because he's thinking, I've given of what I'm good at. I'm giving maybe of the talents that I have, and you're not happy? I can see Cain getting very confused. He was very displeased. But then in verse 5, not only was he wroth and displeased, but then it says his countenance fell. There was displeasure, which led into some disappointment. Have you ever been disappointed as a Christian? You're in church and you think by your own mind and standards and judgments on things that you're serving God and you may even be sincere in it and you're living out your Christian life, and then you find out God says, that's not what I asked you to do. That's not the way I would like it to be done. And then to be disappointed. You're thinking it's right, and God says it's not right, the Bible says his countenance fell. And then I think that disappointment and discouragement, I guess, go hand in hand. We can be disappointed with things, learn from it and deal with it, but then the next step after disappointment is really discouragement. And I think that's where Cain got to, because as we get to the end in just a moment, the discouragement leads into some actions. I think pride became a real problem for Cain. He thought he was doing the right thing, and being confronted and being told that you're not doing the right thing can be very hard to accept. Especially when it comes to service, when it comes to things of church, because for a lot of people it's volunteer. It's I'm giving of my time. It's I'm doing something for God, and everyone should be happy with the little bit that I'm doing. That's a lot of people's thinking. But if we're going to do it for God, we should do it the way God wants us to do it. We should do it with a heart according that will please God and not please ourselves. Pride became a real problem for Cain. Proverbs 16 verse 18 says that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. James 4 6 tells us that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. I want you to think about this. Pride is like a mirror that reflects only what we want to see. Pride is like a mirror that reflects only what we want to see. If the image is distorted, we blame the mirror instead of facing the truth. Cain blamed the outcome, but the real issue wasn't the outcome, it was what's inside of him. That's what pride does. We see that Cain's discouragement led to wrong thinking, wrong desires, and the last thing is it led to a poisoned witness, as we see in verse 8. So I want you to, I guess, follow this through as we look at the passage. Cain and Abel have given their offerings. Cain's, I think, under the mindset that I'm doing good. It's been very prideful. It's what I want. It's something that I've achieved. It's something I want to do maybe for God. Doesn't that sound like a good thing? I want to do something for God. I want to take the talents and the skills that I've got, and I want to give it to God. I want to be able to use these things for God and offer it to God. On the outside, that sounds really great. If you've got skills and talents and abilities and you have the heart that I want to use it for God, to me that sounds great. But it needs to be what God wants. Not the most talented person needs to be used in the way that we often think they should be used. If you think about what God often does, when he does big and great things, he often takes the most unlikely and inexperienced people, the ones with the least amount of education, the ones with the least amount of abilities, and God seems to take those people and use those people to do some of the most miraculous things. That seems to be God's way. But we often think because I can play an instrument or maybe I can sing and I'm the one that's going to be doing this because I think I can do it. A Cain brain is the one that says, I can do it. When Cain goes through this and it's rejected, and we see him getting becoming very wroth, and his countenance falls, and God confronts him about it, and God asks Cain, verse 6, why are you wroth and why is your countenance fallen? He tries to address that. But then we see the next step in the progression of things in verse 8. Cain then goes and talks with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. We see the progression going down. I think Cain ended up with a poisoned attitude. A poisoned attitude. He now sees his brother differently. Notice Cain didn't just go out and kill him. He talked with his brother. Now, the Bible doesn't say what they said to each other. The Bible doesn't describe, it doesn't go into any detail about what took place other than that they met, they talked, and then Cain killed Abel. But wouldn't it be interesting to find out, firstly, what Cain had said, how he confronted his brother? I would assume it's one of jealousy. How come your offering got accepted and mine didn't? Do you think you're better than me? I'm sure that's, if it was me, that's what I'd be thinking. How come you got accepted and I didn't? Doesn't say what Abel said back. Brothers, who knows? There could have been I don't know. It doesn't say Abel did that, but I'm sure Abel maybe stood up for himself and said, look, I just did what God said to do, and you could have done that as well. You could have asked me for one of the flocks, I would have given you, or I would have traded with you, whatever you wanted to do, I would have helped you. And then Cain, his attitude is now poisoned because he's been confronted by God. The thing that he thought was good has been found not good. He confronts his brother Abel in the field. And it says, when they were in the field, Cain rose up and killed his brother and slew him. Poisoned attitude is a dangerous place to be in, because when you have a poisoned attitude, that often leads to poisoned actions. Cain went through went from a place of thinking he was doing good to finding out he wasn't doing good. And instead of dealing with it at that level, continue to fester in that, confront the person that did the right thing, and then the Bible says he killed him. Imagine getting that angry with your brother for something he didn't even do wrong. So angry enough to kill your brother. Now, no matter how old you are here, if you have siblings, if you have brothers or sisters, especially as you're growing up, I'm sure there have been times when you disagree with a brother or a sister. Someone did something, someone touched your thing, someone encroached over the line in the car where you're sitting. This is my spot, don't put your leg on my side. Whatever it is, there are always times where brothers and sisters and siblings argue and fight and complain and hate each other one minute, love each other the next minute. That seems to be human. But to get to the point where your brother actually was doing a good thing and you didn't, that it poisoned you enough to kill your brother. To me, this is a Cain brain. And I wonder how many Christians around our churches today have a form of a Cain brain. Maybe they're at different places. Maybe they're just at the place where they're happily going along, thinking they're serving God, giving God what they think is important to them, rather than finding out, God, what do you want me to do? How can I serve you better? What is it that you want me to do to be able to serve you? Waiting for what God says and then putting that into practice. wonder how many times we make the decisions for our lives. We think, as long as I'm doing something, then that's going to be good enough. God will be pleased with a little bit that I give. The little bit of I don't want to give 10%, but I'll give 1 or 2%. I go, you know, especially the more money you earn, it seems to be the harder that 10% looks, that's a bigger chunk. And it's like, oh, I can't give that much. Church is not that important. But that's the start of a Cain brain. And if God ever challenges you on that, with how you're serving, then don't get to the proud spirit. Listen to God and cut it off there, and repent and change it and do what God wants. Because the outcome, if you don't, ends up being a very poisoned attitude and action in life. Now, you may not ever kill anyone, but the things that you do and say, especially within a church family, could definitely kill off not physical life, but maybe the attitudes of others. It may impact others that they're now impacted in a negative way, where they see things differently. They see you do something and it does have an effect. So I want to encourage you tonight, don't get a Cain brain. You might think, well, that'll never happen, but it is very, very easy to happen if we're not careful. Because I don't think Cain ever set out to do the wrong thing. I think somewhere in there he thought he was doing the right thing, but it ended up being wrong and it was never dealt with and God judged. And I think it's a great reminder and illustration for us to take on board tonight.